Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a pleasure to be here with you this morning. You know, in here, it always feels like when I come in, it's like we're family. I don't know if you feel that way or not, but it's like we're all family here. We're coming here hungry. I pray hungry, wanting to learn more of God. And I do my best to really seek God out of what he wants to share with his people, with the family that he's given Charlene and I to be with. And, you know, it's such a pleasure to do that. But, you know, I come up with so many different messages all the time. And then when it comes to be like Saturday evening, it's like, it's just not quite what God wants. I do my best. And I even pray about it. And it's like, I can just tell, I said, all right, Holy Spirit, what is it you want to share? I thought I had it. Thought I knew what you wanted, but that's not what it's supposed to be. So I get up real early, usually Sunday morning, and then I put any changes or whatever on the message because I really want to say, see, you don't need to hear what I want to say because that wouldn't do you any good anyway, probably. You need to hear what God wants to tell us. And otherwise, there's no power in it. There's really not a lot of meaning. So anyway, I really pray and I struggle with that. And I'm just thankful, you know. So a lot of times I can tell when I get something that's from the Lord is because it's like he's teaching me. And then I'm sharing it with you. And we all learn together that way. And that way I'm not the one that is a know-it-all. And now you all need to come up to my level. It's like, no, it's not that at all. So I thank God for that. So if you would, too much talk. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'd like to start with verse 31. This is just sort of a little kickoff here of, I think, what God is wanting to share with us today. So it's Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 31. You know, we all have concerns and worries and thoughts about things, but this is what the Lord says about all of that. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all of these things, the Gentiles seek, the lost, basically is what he's saying there. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. He already knows that, you know. And then 33 says, now this is what you really need to pray about. This is what you need to seek. Not all that other stuff. I'll take care of that. I know what you need there. But he says, this is what you have to seek and really pray about. Verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, will you show us what we need to be concerned about, what we need to really pray for and seek after? Father, it's your kingdom that we can be a part of. And you work in our lives and you bless us. Lord, you give us the strength that we can change lives as you do it through us. The Father, teach us what really is your kingdom and how it works in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for your love and your righteousness and all that you're going to do and have done and are doing in our lives. We bless you. We thank you. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take some time and look at the kingdom. You know, a lot of times we hear about the kingdom of God. But how does it work? What does it do? How do we fit into it? What is it all about? See, what I've learned in the gospel and reading in God's word and studying, it's not just words. You know, we're so used to hearing things in the world, it's just words a lot of times. You know, and maybe that's why I have selective hearing with my wife, you know. Sometimes it's just words, you know. Tell me when you get to the real part, you know. It's not that bad, but anyway, I exaggerate too much. But, you know, we kind of read the Bible, we hear messages, and sometimes it's just words. It's just words. It doesn't have the meaning that it really should have. And, but we need to understand that the kingdom of God is real. To see the kingdom of God is profound. It's transformative reality. I'm telling you, get close to God, you start working and walking in the kingdom, and it'll transform your life. You know, a lot of good people, good churchgoers and that are always trying to change their life. They're always trying to be better. And that's good that you do that. But if you really want to be transformed, take the word of God and start applying it into your life, realizing that it's not talk, that it's real. And we take it into our life and we do it and just watch the transformation that happens in our lives. It's that believers begin then to experience in the here and now. You know, a lot of times we talk about, well, when we get to be with God and when we're in heaven and when we're there. And I'm talking about the kingdom is here and now. It's right now. And I don't want to miss out on anything. And so we got to realize that God's kingdom is right now and it transforms our lives. Makes it easier on us. The benefits of being in God's kingdom are really numerous. And while not always physical or material, they provide a deep spiritual fulfillment and guidance in our lives. Like Romans 14, 17, that talks like this. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. God, see, God already knows that what you need. He already knows that. So he says that it's not the eating and drinking, but it's righteousness. It's peace. Folks, you got to love peace. A lot of us have so much worry, concerns. And it's like, if we could just learn to walk in the kingdom and allow God to just kind of change our lives, then comes the peace. It's like, God, you got it covered. You got it covered. It doesn't look good. It looks like it's getting worse, but God, you can do it. You've got it covered. Thank you, Lord. And so you can then have the peace, you know, and then you can have joy. When everybody else thinks that you should be off crying somewhere and wringing your hands out and worrying about everything, that you can have the joy. And people wonder, where do you get that joy? All that you're going through? Paul and Silas were locked in prison. They had already been beaten because they shared the word, and they caught them and beat them, threw them in prison. And what did they do? They sang. They sang glory to God. They were excited. There was the joy. There was the peace. It wasn't the worry, what are they going to do with me now? But there was the joy. And of course, you know what happened in the joy. They really got set free from it, didn't they? And then look what God did through it. The jailer and his entire family got saved. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got to understand how great the kingdom is and what God is really wanting to do in our lives. So it's not material things. It provides a deep spiritual fulfillment and guidance for our lives. Folks, we got to learn to let go and let God. Amen? Let go and let God. How about the conversion of Saul? How he was so zealous for the Jews and what he was doing. On his way to Damascus to imprison Christians and even kill them. But he came against the kingdom. Because Jesus met him. And he said, wait a minute. You don't see the truth here. So Jesus blinded him. And then he had to wait for 3 days for Ananias to come and to pray over him. Folks, this is how the kingdom works. We've got to learn to take care of God. Now, all the people in Damascus were afraid. They knew he was coming. And Ananias even said, but Lord, he's the one that kills your Christians. He's even got letters to come here to Damascus to imprison your Christians. And the Lord says, no, don't worry about that. He said, I've got it taken care of. He's called to a purpose. And you're going to go and you're going to share with him what I'm telling you. And like all of us, you ever notice how we're kind of blind to the gospel until we get Jesus? And then it's like, wow, this is pretty good. I haven't seen that before. It's like the scales fall off our eyes. And that's what happened to Paul. The scales just fell off of his eyes and then he could see. And then they baptized him. And then from then on, we know what God did through Paul, right? Man, we got most of the New Testament's written by Paul. Or Saul, he got his name changed. See, there's a lot of things that changes in our lives. I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm talking about what Jesus has already done for us and allowed us to receive. And all we do is receive it by faith. We can't earn it. It's by grace. And a good thing about the church here is you guys are moving already by faith. I can already see the kingdom working in your lives. It's already there. God's already doing a thing in you. You talk different. You act different. You're happier. Folks, the kingdom is here in this church. And it's in us. And God is just wanting to build us up to understand what we really have. And see, that's the problem. We don't understand what we have yet. We may see a little bit of it. But there's so much more that God wants to take us in places, but see, we got to learn how to just trust God. We got to learn how to trust God. Another thing in the kingdom of God is really the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can be present in our lives. In fact, Jesus promised to his disciples and to all who get saved. In John 14:16, Jesus promised his disciples, and he said this. He says, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you a helper, or another helper, since Jesus was leaving. that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit dwells in believers. He offers guidance, comfort, and wisdom. And as believers, we have the Holy Spirit. I know at times because of people's lack of believing or have been taught wrong or just refuse to believe, they kind of quench the Spirit. They hold him back. There's things that he wants to do, and they don't let him. I remember when I first started speaking in tongues, I stopped. I said, I'm not speaking that. That's what I heard. I want my own. You know how we get sometimes. And so I wouldn't speak. Those words would come up. No, I heard it, because I used to pray in between two pastors. And I was Baptist. And I said, man, the word talks about the Holy Spirit. I want him. I don't understand it. I just know what the word says. And me, I always pray, God, I want everything you got for me. I want everything. I want it all. But you got to teach me how to do it. And I was against it and even had preached against all of that before. But God got a hold of me. And so these ministers would pray for me, and then they would speak in tongues, praying over me. And I just kind of remembered some of the words. And so as I was praying in English, some of these words came up, and I repeated them. And that's when I said, no, I'm not repeating. Lord, I'm not just copying. I want the real thing. But sometimes we don't know if it's real. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, you speak what I give you. And he says, then I'll give you more. You see, folks, we got to start somewhere, right? You're not going to start way up here. You got to start somewhere. And let God prove himself in you and to you. And then you just start using it. See, that's what we're doing and learning in the church now. How do we deal with sicknesses? How do we deal with pain? How do we deal with things? And it's using the word. It's speaking the word. See, because the word is life. And it permeates. It changes. See, you're speaking the kingdom. We're kingdom talkers. That's what it is when you're sharing the word. It's the kingdom words. Another thing that the kingdom does for us, it adopts us as children of God. Do y'all know that you're sons and daughters of God? You may not feel like it. Sometimes we don't even act like it. But I'm going to tell you, we are the children of God. I listen sometimes to people that pray, and they'll say, God, will you please do nothing wrong with it? But it's like, I talk to God, I said, Father. In fact, even in the word here, it says this in Galatians 4, 6 through 7. It says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba here is Daddy. Daddy God. It's not just Father or just God, but it's Daddy. We talked last week a little bit about, hey, my daddy's got it covered. Do you know my daddy? Stick with me. You'll hear about him. And you'll see him working. The But see, I don't pray, oh God. It's okay if you want to do that, but I want to be a little more intimate as Father. My loving Father who cares so much for me. Father, I'm your son. And you're my daddy. Folks, we got to learn and start speaking. We're in the kingdom. The kingdom does so much. Gives us abundant life as well. John 10:10, Jesus declares, he says, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You see, this abundant life is characterized by spiritual fulfillment and purpose. Y'all have a purpose. Y'all have a purpose. God called you. He knows what he wants to do and what he's given you to do. And we just need to relax and let God do it through us. When the Lord told me when I came here, shortly after I was here, I kind of wanted to know, Lord, what am I doing? What am I really supposed to be here? And the Lord spoke to him and he says, teach my people to believe. Thank you, Lord. I know my purpose. I know my purpose now. But see, I knew that it wasn't me to do it. It was God to do it through me to you. Folks, that's why I'm so concerned about what I preach and how I preach it. Because God wants you to grow. He wants you to understand, all of us to understand how to believe, how to trust him, how to walk in the kingdom, to realize all that he's done. We're children of his. I tell you what, anyone talked against any of your children, what would you do? Yeah, you're right. They're bums. They're worthless. You wouldn't do that. You'd stand up for your child. I said, how dare you? You can't talk like that about my child. Yeah, they may have weaknesses and faults, but they're my children, and I love them. Well, what do you think God says and does? See, folks, we've got to understand that the kingdom is real. And what it means to each of us as we go and we do. And who we are. So many people think they're a nobody. I'm a nobody. But you're a somebody. And God holds you to high esteem. Even when we fail and make mistakes. But he teaches us through it. He doesn't throw us away or beat us or whatever. That's my God. That's my daddy. I can trust my daddy. Because he's going to do it through me. The abundant life. How about the Samaritan woman? And she was a movie star. She had five husbands. I don't know if that was that Samaria or was that Hollywood. I remember I have to look at that. But Jesus revealed to her the past, but he offered her then living water. He doesn't throw you away because of your faults. He offers us the kingdom, his life. It's all in the past. Those of us that are Christians or kingdom people, we've been forgiven by grace. We didn't earn it. And God was merciful to save us and give us life. Folks, my prayer is that you will know and learn who we really are in Christ, that we can truly say, Daddy, Daddy, you know where I'm at. You know what I need. So, Daddy, I trust you. You know what's best. And I receive it from you. Thank you. You see, I want the peace. I want the joy. Kingdom principles. We really need to learn that. And of course, you know what happened to this lady? Here she has all these faults. Jesus offers her the water, the Holy Spirit, that she would never thirst again. See, folks, you got to realize you're not going to thirst anymore for salvation, for forgiveness, for understanding. You're not going to hunger and thirst for that. But you will hunger to come more and to stay close to the Lord. See, that's ours. Salvation, deliverance, it's all ours. We're part of the kingdom. And we need to let God just shine bright in us. So what does she do? She goes to the town, and the whole town, after she had shared with them all that Jesus said, he told me my past. Could this not be? And they all came to Jesus to see if it could be. And all it was is a testimony of a lady who had a hard life, who never felt loved. And had great needs because of it. But God. But God, Jesus offered her grace. And she received it. And became an evangelist for the whole city of Samaria. Folks, this is our God. This is Abba working. And he'll do that in our lives as well. All we got to do is just trust him. And that we're already starting to do. And it's so important, this trust. You know, part of this adoption I missed here. I want you to look, if you would, to Revelations chapter 21. I'm sure I read this verse. I have it highlighted, and yet when the Lord gave it to me this morning, I thought, man, that's the first time I ever read that. Revelations 21, verse 7 and 8. Talking about those who overcome, those who become Christians and are adopted. He says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. See, we're going to get it all, folks. And he says, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, folks, you see what he's saying here? The cowardly, who is the unbelieving? You see, to believe a lot of times and to come to the kingdom and to trust God and to walk with him and to know him as Abba, do you know there's fear in that? Because you're going to suffer persecution. There's people that are going to make fun of you, laugh at you, tell you how stupid you are for believing like that. And the Lord says they're cowards. They don't want to give up the world. They want to do their own thing. They're enjoying sin. And they don't want to try the kingdom. And the Lord says they're cowards. Because they're unbelieving. There are murderers and sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Folks, we got to be believers. And the offering goes out all the time, and Jesus is calling, I know, in a lot of our lives. And it's like, hey, do you want some of me? You know, some people, you want a piece of me? You know, like they want to fight. You want a piece of me? Well, the Lord's saying this. He says, do you want a piece of me? Do you want a piece of me? You won't regret it. Try me and see. Isn't that what he did with Saul and the rest of the disciples and the Samaritan lady? So it's open for us. We don't have to be unbelievers. Folks, you gotta make that choice. Do y'all know that? I know when the Lord dealt with me, I had to make a choice. The Lord even said before I went forward to receive Jesus, he says, what are you going to do? You going to get back in the pew? Or are you going to go forward? What are you going to do? It's your choice. See, folks, it all comes down to choice. It can be shared with you. You can see it. Maybe understand a lot of it. God deals with the heart. And he says, what do you want? He says, I'm offering you. I'm offering it to you. You want to be part of my kingdom? You want to be forgiven? See, we're righteous in Christ. We may have some faults, but it doesn't matter because we're righteous in Jesus. Folks, it's so good to know the Lord and to be part of his kingdom. I love the forgiveness of the Lord and his grace. As part of the kingdom, we live under God's grace, experiencing forgiveness and also the ability to forgive others. Y'all know that? Here we get part of the kingdom and God forgives us, but then he also gives us the ability to forgive others. We shouldn't have to force ourselves to forgive somebody. Man, we're so full of love. God, look at what God's done for us. We look at that and we just fall in love and it's like, does really what they've done have any bearing on this? Man, I gave a guy a fat hog once who penned up my cattle and made me pay his taxes that year. And he did it just to be mean. And yet after I was saved, before I had such hatred, but after I had such love. Man, I was in the kingdom. I didn't understand what that meant, but I want to tell you, I felt the righteousness. I felt it in Christ. And I had such peace in it. And we were joyful. I'm sure my wife was really joyful. Because I want to tell you, I needed Jesus. But God touched my heart, changed my life. And I love to forgive. It's not hard. The Lord says, look at all that you've been forgiven for. Now, can't you forgive? What? Man, I have no problem forgiving. Thank you, Jesus. I probably beat that horse a little bit. But it's important to know. And I'm going to quit there because I don't want anybody throwing me out or anything like that. While you're still smiling, we'll stop. But anyway, please realize we're kingdom creatures. We're children of God. And it's not just words. It's so real. So we just need to trust and start walking by faith. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you do in our lives, Lord. Help us to truly understand, Lord, that we are kingdom people. And we will walk in your power, in your strength, and your kingdom is not just at the end. But Lord, a lot of it's even right now in our lives. Let us know that, learn it, receive it, and Father, take advantage of all that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your grace. May we honor you and all, Lord, that you've given and done for us. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read a blessing over you, pronounce a blessing. May the Lord bless you, protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor, give you peace, the peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.